Am I on? I'm not. Hello. Hello again. Are we on? Here we are. Okay, maybe I'm a little. God bless you. Good to see you on this beautiful summer Sunday, right? You know, it's interesting. Last week, I spent some time at Calvary. We did for the worship last Sunday. And we walked in, and I thought, wow, this is Calvary? All these empty seats and what have you. So this is, I tell you, summer is a wonderful time, but oftentimes it's a pastor's nightmare because people are vacationing, they're gone, they're doing this, we're doing that. And, you know, God spoke to us during this worship service. God gave Kathy words, I think it was Kathy and Jan, and interesting enough, this is really the truth. Prior to Kathy sharing, God laid that on my heart, that we're not to despair. You know, and so he gives us confirmation. Now, maybe that didn't do anything for you, but it did a lot for me. So praise God, God is good. So we need to understand that, and you understand that God is, he's so awesome, we can't even count how many ways that he's awesome to it. So we need to just give God a hand clap, you know, really, and give him our praise. You know, that's absolutely true. You know, and there's so many exciting things that God has for this church, and we're just to take it just kind of one step at a time. That's what we're doing, because God's given us no other choice but to take it one step at a time. And through our council, we've really... I guess Dewey shared about our special mission pledge offering, and that is, again, I just want to share that with you very briefly, that this is just extra giving. This is not a part of our regular offering. This is the extra giving. So we have three pledges already, which somebody said to me, not from you folks, like, yeah, I don't know if that's going to work. Hey, with God, all things are possible. It's working. You stop and think how small we are. Three pledges already. That's a good thing. So I just wanted to share that with you, that just pray about what God might have you do. If you haven't filled this out, keep praying about it, because we have till the end of August before the campaign is over to see what God lays on your heart. There's no pressure. It's all about what God lays on your heart. And that's all that we're asking that you do. Amen? Amen? Amen. Are you ready for a good sermon? Well, you probably had it last week, but you probably won't get it this week. So anyway, God is good. And we had a great vacation time. Didn't we, Jan? I think we did. Talk a little bit about that today. And what God's doing in our lives. And it's great to be back to your wonderful smiling faces. We always, when we're in Green Lake, it's a tradition, the whole family was up there, and that Sunday that we're at the lake, we always go to Terrace Shores Evangelical Church. And the pastor's been up there for umpteen years. I can't remember how many years, but he's been up there probably a million, it seems like. And anyway, we remember that church when it was just a little itty-bitty church. You know, just a little, and through the years we've seen it grow and grow and grow, and now they have a sister church, you know, that God's called them to start another one. So God is blessing that church, and it's always a blessing to hear the pastor up there, because I believe this man is very anointed, and so he's always excited, your Pastor Gary, as he brings the word. So let's pray. Lord, we just praise you and thank you, Lord, so much for... Oh, Lord, just for everything, for this beautiful day, for those gathered here today, where two or three gathered in your name, you are present. And so for that, we give you praise and glory. And Lord, I pray that this message would just be pleasing to you, that hearts will be open to receive it, Lord. And Lord, maybe parts of it might be a little bit difficult, but Lord, you can work through all the difficulties. Just prepare our hearts and minds for what you'd have for us today. And I pray that your Holy Spirit will just use me as your instrument to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. A man asked God about a million years. What does a million years look to God? And God replied, a million years is like a second of time, a second of your time, my child. So the man thought, well, that's a nice answer. So then he continued and he said, well, what about $1 million? And God replied, $1 million is like, to me, it's like one single penny. So the man thought about that. Then he got very bold and he said, Lord, would you give me one of your pennies? And God responded, certainly, my child. Just wait a second. I think most of us in life, we look at life from a very different perspective, don't we? And so I want to talk about perspective today. So hang in there with me as I share this story. Now, I know sometimes the pastor, they tell the stories, but hey, you got to listen to him because he's the pastor, and you know, so you can only talk from your own life experiences, right? So that's what we do. So please forgive me if I bore you with some of my stories, but I want you to really listen to this because it really speaks to my point today. I'm going back to the good old days when I was like a junior in high school. Midway through my junior year of high school, I started dating this young lady in my class, and I took her to the prom. I know you're thinking, and it wasn't by horse and carriage either. I double dated with my best friend, so he had a convertible, and we thought we were really cool. I mean, it was really great. And so I took her to the prom, started dating her on a regular basis my senior year, and then beyond. But through that process, that I think initially her parents were really cool with it. But then once they felt that we're getting a little bit serious, then there was some pushback. And the pushback got very ugly. Here I am, just a teenager, 17, 18 years old, and we need to understand in this story that this girl I was dating came from supposedly the right side of the tracks. I came from the wrong side of the tracks. And in the eyes of our school, she was good-looking. She was a cheerleader. Her parents were loaded, so to speak. They had everything, and I had nothing. And that's what they saw. They saw a young person they felt wasn't going anywhere. Her dad served on the school board. All the things, they had it, and I didn't have any of that. And it got to be very ugly. It was a very unhealthy relationship because they were putting pressure on her to break up with me. Why would they want to do that? I could never understand that. But it was, that pressure was immense. But I think the more pressure they put on her, she dug in and refused. Now, I look back now, you know, years later, and think, oh, what's wrong with this picture? There's a lot of things wrong with it. But it was such an unhealthy relationship because when I'd pick her up for a date, the pressure was tremendous because I knew they disliked me. So we graduate from high school. She goes on to college. I'm working, trying to save money for college. And it was during that time of the fall of her freshman year in college where I get a call from her mother that she wanted to talk to me, the mom. Now, I figure this might not be good. Or what does she want? Are they going to take me out there and they're going to kill me and bury me in the fields or something? So I had a lot of reservations driving to her nice house. And listen to this. And I want you to discern how you would interpret this. The mother invites me in. I heard somebody in the other room. I just assumed that was her dad, but I'm just assuming that. And then she starts in by saying, well, you know, Kathy's in college now, and she's got to focus on her grades, and she doesn't need distractions. You know? And she said, so we're going to ask you if you would just kind of stop seeing her, because she can't be distracted with all of her studies. So your humble now pastor, you know, I thought, well, what do I do? I mean, I'm in their house, I'm somewhat intimidated, and I'm still a kid, and I basically looked at her and said, you know, that probably has to be her decision to make. Then I left. Well, now to fast forward the story, it's a really interesting story. Aren't you glad you came this morning to hear the story about my love life when I was in high school? And so we left, and then I went to college. And when I was in college that first year, my values started to change. I wasn't in Christ, but God was working in me then. But I started thinking of things differently. I start thinking now I'm pushing, 20 years old or whatever by the time I got to school. And I thought, this relationship isn't going anywhere. It's never going to work. They don't like me. I don't have the money. I don't have all of that they have. It's never going to work. So we broke up. And a couple weeks later, I met Jan. At a dance, and my life changed. Suddenly, I had somebody that cared about me, and there was no misconceptions. That her impressions of me were good; they were positive. I could feel myself. I just came alive because I felt good about me, because I was so beaten down by others and what they thought about me. This was great, and we had, of course, the rest is history. And so what I had experienced back in those early years of my life, I believe have a divine component to it. Meaning that our impressions of God form our relationships and understanding of Him. Also, our understanding of how Jesus sees us will either help or hinder our intimacy with Him. Are you with me? Okay, so far I guess so good. See, most of us develop a picture of God based on our experiences in life and our feelings in life. Let me give you an example of that. Jan was raised Presbyterian, so I always point my finger at her and say, thanks a lot for that. I want to be a Presbyterian pastor. But she was raised Presbyterian, and her view of God was impacted by her experiences as a Presbyterian person. Jan is very structured. She was very into the confessionals because that's what Presbyterians do. And she never had a personal experience with God, but she will tell you that she knew God in her head. She had a lot of head knowledge of God, but she really didn't know God. So her impression of God was that. That was her perspective of God. My one son-in-law was raised Catholic. And Scott, for years, he was an altar boy, he did it all. But then he started dating after, when he was in college, my daughter Diane. He eventually married her, of course, my son-in-law. But anyway, they would talk for hours about God, because Diane being born again, and suddenly she's talking to me. She said, listen, if we're going to get serious, we better get serious about our faith. And she didn't really appreciate his understanding of God. And so they'd talk for hours, and Scott said, you know what? He'd say to Diane, I never knew. I never experienced God like this. It never was part of my growing up, my life. That wasn't my perception of God. Now, if you're raised Pentecostal, you're going to have another, perspective of God. If you're raised Baptist, you're going to have another perspective of God. You see where I'm going? You know, that's just kind of how it works. Green Lake had a wonderful time with a family and so forth. So we go through this whole week until Friday. We're leaving Saturday. Friday's my time to really get my grandkids together. I said to the kids, Kathy's not here. Kathy heard this story a little bit. But I said to my kids, hey, the grandkids, let's go up to, there's a little bar and grill up there. Now, in Wisconsin, you understand bar and grills. You go up there, especially this is a lakefront. There's a people hang out. We don't drink, but, you know, they have the greasy food. The kids love the greasy food, so we get the greasy food. We go to one section where that's always your eating section. I said, let's go up, and the kids like those cheese curds and all that really greasy stuff. But I figured that's my way of getting an audience. So I said, let's go up, and we'll kind of finish the vacation doing that. So here we had, I had all my grandkids and myself, we're marching into this place. Get a booth, and I thought to myself, I didn't want to talk about what they did on the vacation. I want to go a little bit deep with them. And all of them, praise God, are all born-again Christians, but I wanted to really, really check their faith and how deep they were and where they were and where they want to go. So we start talking about through things out like, hey, do you think there's life on another planet that has life like we have life? That created a great discussion. We talked about that and kicked that around a little bit. Then I thought, well, end times has got to be a great discussion for kids. They want to know what's going to happen. So we start talking about the end times. And then they got serious. Suddenly their eyes were big as, you know, and they were listening to me, but they got very, very serious about that. And my one grandson, he's 18 years old. And Jacob, you never met him. Jacob is different. This guy is, well, he's 18. That's all I can say. Leave it at that. He's 18. And so Jake, I could tell he was thinking about things. He's thinking about, well, you know, they don't call me Grandpa. They call me Bops. And he said, Bops, he said, what about, you know, relationships when you're in heaven? I knew where he was going. He's 18. He's got a girlfriend. And so we talked a little bit about that, and so we ended that conversation, but it wasn't done. So we get up to leave, and my other grandson, Josh, and this was really hard because Joshua is a great kid, but he's got a stuttering problem. It's very difficult for Joshua to get things out. He's 15 years old, so we get up to leave, and Josh comes up to me and says, Bob, can I talk to you? And so he wanted to talk to me while the other kids were going out the door. I said, what's up, buddy? And so he wanted to know about some of the things that he enjoys on earth. Will they be in heaven? So I assured him that God created things good, and we're going to have more fun in heaven. You can imagine. That was good enough for Josh. So we're going back. We're going back to about four houses away. We reach where we were staying. And Jake, the 18-year-old, said, Bob, he said, could I talk to you for a minute? Now, yeah, this is, I'm thinking to myself, this is not good. I can't do mom and dad's job about the birds and the bees, but I knew where he was going with this one. So I said, sure. So we're out there, and he said, he came right out. I don't want to offend anyone, okay? Young ones, hold your ears, whatever. But, you know, but this is really true. This is really on his heart. You know, he said, Bob's, will there be intimate relationships in heaven with your wife or whatever? He says, you know, I have a girlfriend and she's a Christian now, and we're pure, we're going to be pure. And I said, good. You know, I really affirmed what he was saying. It was a good thing that he's really following the Lord in this, but he's really pushing me on this and pushing me. And I basically said to him, this is by the grace of God. I'm really praying right now. I'm really praying hard. God, give me the words to say to this kid that I don't want to just blow it off, but I want to try to deal with his concerns, because he was really concerned about this. So I said, you know, Jake, I said something like this. I hope you'll approve. I said, Jake, I said, you know, God did create male and female, and it's a wonderful thing to have intimacy with your wife. That's a good thing. God, you know, God created that for us. I says, one day, you know, when you get married, you know, you will experience some joy in your intimacy with your wife. I said, but stop and think about this, Jake. I said, we think of all the things that we embrace on this earth that we really enjoy. That's a wonderful thing. But our knowledge is limited. I says, God created all of this. And when the Bible tells us that there's going to be greater things in heaven, then what we're experiencing now is going to be nothing compared to what's waiting for us in heaven. So at the end of, you know, that's as far I'm going to go with this one because it gets interesting. But anyway, when I was all done with Jake, he looked at me. He put his arm around me and gave me a big hug and said, thanks, Bob, you really cleared things up for me. That's the end of that story. See the perception, you know, that we have. You know, we look at life, you know. The culture throws so many different images of God in our minds and our hearts, right? I just wanted my grandkids to not have a false conception about God in their relationship with Him and their understanding of Him. I wanted to make sure that they were cool with that, they understood that. Because many people, when I talk about end times, and many of the young people, they see their life ahead of them, and they want to live that life. So they get worried about that. They get concerned. We try to convey to them that whatever God created here, He's got something even greater than that for us in heaven. You know, that's easy for us as adults. You know, we've experienced things. Say, yeah, that's true. But when you're, you know, when you're young like that, you kind of look at things a little bit differently. So we see the different images that the culture throws our way. Some people view God as has the white beard. He's got a frown on his face, and he's pointing and he's judging. You know, they see him as angry. They see God as harsh. They see God as mean. They see that God is ever correcting, punishing, like a vengeful judge. Other people, like in Jan's situation, they see God. That God is distant in a sense, that God is indifferent. There's not a personal God. He's there, but He's not personal in your life. So their perception is a little bit different. They will look at the consequences or unconditional love. When I say to you, God's unconditional love, you get it. Because you're born again, Christians, you understand that. But you say that to someone that's not, where God has always been a distance, they don't get that. And most likely, they don't take seriously the consequences of sin and repentance. To them, that's not part of their world. Last Wednesday, come to church for prayer, and who meets me at the door? Levi and Anaya. They throw their arms around me and say, welcome back, good to see you, great. You know, I can see Jay Lee or whatever and say, hey, how you doing, good to see you, you know. The hands have so many children, I got to give them strength. Nevaeh, that's right. Nevaeh is always the one who gives me the high fives. You know, back and forth. You know, we kind of laugh at that, but you have to understand that these young people, they get their perception of God comes through other people as well. How does a pastor respond to them? Is he going to be, hey, good to see you, kid. Just stay away from me. Stay away from me. No, I want them to have an image of God, and as God is speaking through me, to be a positive image, that I care about them. I want to engage them. I want to hug them. I want to say, hey, good to see you. You know, that's important because, see, they carry that with them, and they're so young. Does that make any sense to you? Now, let's go back, fast forward to 20 years earlier when I was dating. They disliked me because I didn't measure up. So I built a perception of them that was not healthy. You know, I thought the worst of them. I thought they were arrogant. I thought that they were uncaring. They were narrow-minded. They were hypocrites. They were judgmental and more. Because that's what I carried about them. That was my image of them, based on how they responded to me. See where I'm going? Because they thought I was trash. Now, what I want us to do, this is a long introduction. What I want us to do is I want us to look at three questions. I want you to think about, and these three questions will really kind of influence how we think about God. And the first one that I want us to look at is how do you view God? How do you view God? And here I want to look at Jesus' words from the Gospel of John, verses 15 through 23. 15, 12 through 13, excuse me. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. God created us for what? For fellowship, for service, for witness, for love, to develop a loving relationship with him and with others. We are called to love others as Jesus loves us. And Jesus loved us so much that he died on the cross for us. Now, God's not asking us to die for someone. Most likely none of us here will die for someone. But we can show God's love, we can show Jesus' love through other ways, other acts of listening, of praying for someone, or just caring for someone, or just being there. Sometimes we think that we have to have all the answers and have all the words for somebody that's grieving or hurting. Sometimes it's just being there for them that's so important for us. You know, I still do. I talk about Calvary. I set up with Calvary when I came here that there are certain people that I still minister to at Calvary because God's laid them on my heart. And so I tell these people, I will see you when I can see you. There's no set schedule. It's when I have some free time or something, I'll shoot over and I'll have fellowship with them. And sometimes I have to be honest with them. I say, oh, gee, I got to squeeze them in somewhere. How am I going to do that? You know, sometimes there's sacrifice in what God's called us to do. Isn't there? So I'm visiting some of these people, and you got to catch this because this really is really cool. It's cool and it's sad, I guess, all in one. And there's one couple I visit. They're in their 90s, but the wife is as sharp as a tack. I mean, she hasn't lost anything mentally. So, and her husband is in the last stages of Parkinson's disease, and he was an artist, and his works are all over the house. It's just unbelievable. But you see what that disease does to people. And so I said, hey, Jean, how are you doing? So we talked a little bit, and she said, my family has totally turned against me about Irwin, her husband, because they think he should be put away somewhere. And she says, I cannot leave my husband. I do not want to leave my husband. And she said, they've been very nasty. Now, you might take that a little bit, say, well, maybe yes, maybe no. But I could see the pain in her eyes. So at the end of my visit, Irwin is in the bedroom. So I said, well, let's go back and we'll pray. So we went back there and I anointed him. I was praying over him. There to my right is his wife just sobbing out of control. She is so sad, so hurting. So what I did, I just kind of put my arms around her, walked out as she's sobbing and prayed with her and talked with her a little bit. Then I left. See where I'm going with that? That is, and you have that ministry. It's not just about a pastor doing these things. You know, God has placed someone in your heart, in your mind. Follow through on that. He might be calling you to do something very special for him. It's not about your glory and my glory. It's about his glory. Thursday, I got a call. Here I am, you know, and from another parishioner who I meet with from every now and then, and I counseled him over some anger issues, and he wanted to talk to me because his wife is dying of cancer. And he said, can we meet Saturday morning? You know, my first thought is, hey, I'm human. My third thought is, Saturday morning? That's sermon preparation time. How am I going to squeeze that in Saturday morning? It's just like God said, stop it. Stop it. I said, sure. I said, what time? 9 o'clock's a good time. So I met with Ted, and it just tore my heart out what he's going through with his family and everything. I won't get into the details, but see, I'm going to talk about helping, how God calls us in his love in Christ to help others, to be for others. It's so important. Oftentimes, I think one of the bad marks churches get is they don't show the love. So many don't show the love. I can't tell you how many times we've been on vacation. I've been in a church just to worship, be one of the people in the pews, and people won't say a word. You'll go in, you go out. And then you hear somebody preaching about the love, you know, the love of God, and you're saying, hypocrites. See, that's important. See, perception is very, very important. By your acts of love, you are representing Jesus. Maybe Jesus is the only person, you're the only person, you know, why did they say that?
You're the only Jesus
that people ever see. Thank you very much. And that's really true. It's our witness. You can have all the words, you can say all the right things, but if you don't express that, then it means nothing. It's just words on a page. That's all it is. You with me? Okay. Say, praise God, he's only got about 15 more minutes. Number two. And this is really interesting. How does God view you? I want you to think about that. How does God view you? Jeremiah 29, 11 through 14. Maybe some of these scriptures might be different than on the screen, but hopefully we're close. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. How many times have we heard that one? Many times, right? God knows us. He knows what we are capable of doing, and he has plans for us that are good and are full of hope. So that's a pretty easy one, isn't it? Verse 12. 12 is more active. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. We can call on God at any time in prayer for anything. We can call upon him. But here's the kicker. I've heard so many people say, and this is really true, they say, well, I say, have you prayed about this? Oh, no, I'm not going to pray about that because I don't want to bother God. He wouldn't be interested in that prayer. I don't want to waste his time. That is nonsense. Absolute nonsense. If it's important to you, it's important to God. Would you agree with that?
Amen.
I think that we need to really, really understand that, because God cares enough for us that he listens. 13 and 14, you will seek me and find me. When you seek me with all your heart, I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back from captivity. See, he's talking about the Jews who were being held captive in Babylon. They were exiles. But his plan was to give them a new beginning and a new hope. And Jeremiah continues, I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile. Like the exiles, God will not forget us in our trials when we seek him with our hearts. He will never, ever abandon us. Now we go to 3. How do these two views influence your walk with God? I want you to look at John 8, because in John 8, Jesus reveals how one can be a true child of God. 31 through 36. To the Jews who believed in him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you will really be my disciples. Then you know the truth, and the truth will set you free. They answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free? Jesus replied, I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now, a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Like the believing Jews, our faith, abiding in the Word and living out its truths, makes us children of God, makes us his disciples. Because in Christ, we have overcome the bondage of sin. That in Jesus Christ, we are more than conquerors. In Jesus Christ, we find the strength to fight another day. In Jesus Christ, we can handle fear, whatever it is. In Christ, we can handle that. In him. In Jesus Christ, we find peace for today and hope for tomorrow. In Jesus Christ, we find grace. In Jesus, we find forgiveness. In Jesus, we find salvation. In Jesus Christ, we find what? We find victory. No matter what it is, we have it in Christ. We do. Remember Ted was telling you about? His wife has the cancer. We're leaving the restaurant. And Ted said, well, he said, when I'm at work, he says, sometimes I have time to think about things. He says, and Satan's been in my head saying, Ted, you're not worth it. You're not worth it. And Ted says, you know, Ted has many siblings. He says, and I was never the smart one. I was always the one in the middle. So I felt I never measured up. I never measured up. He says, Satan's saying, you're worthless. You know, why don't you end your life? And I was saying, Ted. So he knew the answer to that. He just needed someone to give him encouragement and reminder that everything's cool, everything's going to be okay. You see, don't be held hostage to the liar. John, could you play something for me, please? Something nice and soft. Nice and low. All the years that I've ministered, if there's one thing I've learned, it is this. People want a deeper relationship with God. If you talk with people that are, even people out of the church, they want a deeper relationship with God. But sometimes life and the things of the world just get in the way. It could be a false religion, a false teaching. So many things just get in the way. So what I want us to do now, in the time that we have left, oh my goodness, we have another 40 minutes. I want us to think about something. I want you to think about the desire you have for Jesus in your heart. Where Jesus is right with you in your heart. Think about how much you want him, how much more you want of him. Can you do that? Just take a moment and think about that. For some people here, they've had They're having a good time of life. Things are working out well. And maybe for you, Jesus is just, you go, oh man, it can't get any better than this. But for other people, that's not the case. Maybe they've had some bad things happen lately. Maybe they feel that Jesus has just dealt them a bad hand. Or they feel, well, you know, what I've gone through in my life, I don't think God is listening to my prayers. I don't really think He cares. But the point is, all of this is that we need to take all that negative, that all those things that are in our souls, and we need to give them to Jesus and understand that He wants to heal us. Amen? Now, we're almost done. I must be honest with you. I don't sit in that office Monday through Thursday taking naps or just looking out the window watching those silly birds banging themselves off the window. And I believe that's a sermon in itself. We got the dumbest birds in the world around here because they're constantly banging into those windows. So anyway, they want to get in, probably want to get in me. I think they're vultures is what they are. So I've been praying about the church. I pray, God, what is it that you want me to do here? What is it? I shared this with some of you. Know that. You know what I'm thinking. I pray about, God, what is it? And then give me the wisdom, give me the gifts to do it, and the boldness to do it. What is it? And He's been laying on my heart things about the church to get it, you know, cleaned up and everything. Then I talked with Dewey during the week, and we kind of, it was giving me the load on what's been going on. And God's doing some great things here. We don't see it yet. Maybe you don't see it yet, but He's lining things up. He's lining them up, and I can see it. I can see it happen. Just like when Kathy shared and Jan, God shared with me before they did. Oh, God, thank you so much for that. You just gave me confirmation, and you give me hope and that I'm going in the right direction. And then Dewey shared, which is kind of interesting, that when I was gone, there was somebody was living in the shed. We had a person living out there. Am I right? And that, I was shocked, to be honest with you. I thought, oh my goodness, we have a little friend that was living there. But then it hit me. I thought to myself, we have, you know, Sue and other mothers with bringing their children to church here alone. We're not in residential here. This is country. And I'm thinking, oh, and then I'm thinking bad things. Like, oh my goodness. Somebody could be watching, and they could sneak in. And so Dewey's telling me all of these things about the bottle and whatever he tried to put between a door, and thinking, this is not good. But anyway, this story, here's where God is good. Praying about these things. Can we afford a sophisticated security system? No. And then we had some friends, our dear friend, Yorkville friends, our best friends. We were breaking bread with them Friday night. And Ken has his own business. He's a computer guy. He repairs computers, and he's had a very, very good business over the years. He also installs security cameras in companies and whatever. So he does all those things. And so I was talking about my concern about the church, and I don't know, the gentleman or whatever that was, you know, the sharing, you know, residence with us about that, and my concern about security. And Ken said, oh, he said, what I can do, he said, I can put a security camera up in your front of your church or whatever, and I'll do it for nothing. Of course, I said, nothing? Yeah, I won't want it. Yes, yes, yes. You know, see how God works in mysterious ways, but He shows us step by step by step by step that He's with us all the way. And that includes your personal life as well, whatever you're going through. He's with you step by step by step. But sometimes it's hard. So with Dewey, I'm thinking, well, praise God. And this, I'm going to close with this passage from Zephaniah. How many remember Zephaniah? You know, how many read Zephaniah on a regular basis? Some people say, Zephaniah, he's kind of like Zechariah. They start with a Z, I guess, so it has to be the same. But anyway, Zephaniah gives us a wonderful, wonderful scripture passage. 3:17. The Lord your God is with you. I want you to listen to this because this is, I believe this is just for each and every one of you. The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. Just when you think, or we think, our problems are just too overwhelming, Zephaniah reminds us that God is with us, that he is in charge, and he delights in us. It, meaning that gives him pleasure to help us when we ask. And he rejoices over us like grandparents rejoice over their grandchildren. But we must see God. We must see him through the eyes of his word, inspired by the Holy Spirit. And not through the distorted lens of a fallen world. When we see Jesus Christ the way he wants to be seen, our lives will be changed forever. And how we view life will be changed forever. But there are times when we just don't understand, do we? We don't understand. We don't know why God is taking his time to answer a prayer concern. But you see, friends, that is when faith requires that we trust in God in our waiting. You see, it's during our waiting time, as we wait, that Zechariah says, he will quiet you or me with his love. Do you get that phrase? He will quiet you with his love. When that happens, when you wait in faith that he'll quiet you in his love, that's when his peace comes. That's when his peace comes. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We give you praise. We give you glory. Oh, God. How many ways do I blow it? And yet your grace brings me back. How many times do we just fall short, Lord? And your grace brings us back. Your love is always there to quiet our hearts, to give us the assurances that you're always there. And for that, we give you praise and glory. I pray for my brothers and sisters here today, Lord. I pray this would be a new day for them, a new opportunity, Lord. They'll draw closer to you, Jesus, that their impressions of you, Lord, that they will see you, Jesus, as you see them, with love, with compassion, with encouragement, with strength, everything. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Just let the Lord minister to you now. Whatever's going on in your life, just take the time to lift it up to your Lord and have fellowship with him. Thank you. We thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray. If anyone needs prayer, up here we can pray with you. In closing, I want you to pray for me. Jan shared that I was talking about the will of God. She said, why don't you preach on the will of God? You probably heard a zillion sermons on the will of God. Well, you might hear another one. And so I've been praying about that. I don't know if God wants me to preach on the will of God, but I've been writing notes as reading the Bible and writing notes and getting thoughts down. Usually when that happens, God's telling me something. So I'm still writing my notes on the will of God. And so pray about that for me, because who knows? It could happen. It could be yes, it could be no. It could be a series. It could be just one time. So we see what God has in mind, or none. God bless you. Have a great day.